on, let's begin to give him praise here tonight. Come on, let's begin to love the name of Jesus tonight. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, send it on down. Send it on down.
Forever, bless the Lord, he endureth forever.
give him praise here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, can we lift him up tonight? Come on, bless the Lord. You believe he's doing great things in the house? Come on, do you believe he's doing great things in the house tonight? Oh, bless the Lord because he's good. Oh, bless the Lord because he's good. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. He's doing great things.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Remain standing if you would. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We have several that are out tonight, I think. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe Mad Cow. Something going around here. Make everybody sick. We're just passing it around. Amen. We want to share the gospel and our sickness. Praise God. Pray for all those who could not be here tonight. Pray for Elder Myers. He had a major sugar crash tonight before church, and he is not doing well. And then also Megan had a procedure today, and then the kids are sick, and the Prophet kids are sick, and the Carnegie kids are sick, and all these single dads being at church tonight. Amen. But we're thankful for everyone who's in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's pray for all those that could not be here. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, what we feel in this house already. God, we know they would be here if they could. So we're asking you, Lord, right now to bless them, to help them, to heal them, to move in their life on their behalf. It's by your stripes that we're healed tonight, Jesus. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Vinny's not here tonight, so we're going to need some help with the offering. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Let's not forget our personal daily devotion. Amen. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Fast as often as you can. I think not this Thursday, but next Thursday and Friday would be a good time to fast. If you're real spiritual, praise God. Maybe it's the Saturday, Sunday afterwards. That would be a good time to fast. But we're praying for souls. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's be about the Father's business. Next week, our midweek service will be on Tuesday. I forget what date that is, but it's on a Tuesday. And it will be at our new building. Bring a coat. Because last night it was super cold there. But we were on the roof and we got all the roofing, most of it done. It looks great. Coming along, we'll have it all cleaned up and well lit so you can see the progress. But we'll be gathering there, and then also reminding everyone about our Christmas banquet Sunday, December 21st at 6 p.m. at Louie's Pizza and Italian Restaurant. Now, where we're going to have the banquet in that room is just slightly bigger than our Sunday school / fellowship hall. So for a little while, we'll be able to have a little bit of fellowship in there. But in just a few short months, praying that we can build another building because of the growth and the revival that God is going to bring. Amen? Let's stand together, pray for the offering. Savior, we thank you. We love you. We adore you tonight, Lord. We ask you to bless the gift and the giver. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
My way.
it tonight. Come on, give him the glory. Give him the praise. He's worthy of it. Come on, he's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of the glory and the praise tonight. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your heart. Lift up your praise tonight in the house. Oh, you got a right to praise him. I ought to praise the Lord. I've got a right to praise him. I ought to praise the Lord. Oh, mighty King. Come on, somebody, it feels good right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I've got a right to praise him. This morning, start me on my way. Give him the glory. Give him praise. Oh, let's do it right now. Give him praise. Oh, we glorify you, Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, if you feel like praising him tonight, why don't you just exercise your freedom? Come on, we got some rights tonight that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. Oh, they're God-given rights. The devil can't take it away. My circumstance can't take it away. I'm going to praise him while I have the chance. Oh, you ought to do it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I love you. Oh, someone thank God for that right tonight. Someone thank God for that right tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Thankful for everyone who's in the house of the Lord tonight. It is so good to see Brother Jackson in the house. I knew he was in town. Wasn't sure if he's going to be at church, but I think he does it on purpose. Because he's heard me preach before, but I've never heard him preach before. So maybe on one of these nights, he'll be instant in season and out of season. Now he won't come back. No, we want you to come back. We enjoy him visiting while he's over here working. Amen. We have a right. I heard someone the other day talking about we, the people of this country, and our rights. Can I just tell the church that the Republicans, the Democrats did not give you these rights?
That's right.
These freedoms that we have were not given by a politician. Our founding fathers said they were given by God, our Creator. I don't care who's in office. I don't care what's going on. We are not protecting Republicans or Democrats or politicians. We are protecting the rights that God. Why do we stand for what we stand for? Because God gave them to us, and you're not going to lose them on my watch. We're not going to lose them on my watch. Man, the man said it would be easier to live in obscurity, to just exercise those rights in obscurity without the attention and the threats, but I have a moral obligation to say something, to stand up. And he's talking about free speech and all the amendments and all of that. I got struck by, I got a moral obligation. I've got a conviction of a religious truth to stand up and proclaim. We're believing it. We're proclaiming it. And we're celebrating truth tonight. And we've got rights to worship God. We've got rights to shout, to dance, to rejoice, to pray, to make our petition known to God. We don't have to. We're not going to lose them on this watch tonight. Oh, why don't you just do it one more time? Just because he's good. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Man, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you feel condemnation, ask yourself this question. Am I walking after my flesh, or am I walking after the Spirit? If we are walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. That does not mean there will not be conviction. But there's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, had for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I've got so much torment, Pastor. I've got so much condemnation. The way of the transgressor is hard. But those that are walking after life and after the Spirit have life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Carson preached on that Sunday morning. And as soon as he said the word enmity against God, I thought he was talking about how when Adam and Eve fell, he put enmity between thy seed and you. And the carnal mind is an enemy, stands opposed to God. I don't want to be on the devil's side. If God put enmity between me and him, I don't want to be on the devil's side. Because if I have a carnal mind, a fleshly mind, it's enmity against God, and it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that mind the things of the flesh, those that mind the things of the Spirit, for the carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. There's enmity. There's a battle. I was going to title this tonight, "It's All in Your Head." That's where the battle is. In fact, the first time I preached a message along these lines, that was the title. That was in Spruce Grove. And we had a lot of head cases in Spruce Grove. But I was 34 years old, and I thought that would be a good way to provoke them to good works. It didn't work. Thank God they had mercy on me and grace. And so tonight I want to title this. I was told I'd never give titles. I guess I don't. I don't know. I'm not listening. The battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. He wants to get us distracted. He wants to get us caught up in our thoughts. And so there's a battle tonight for the mind. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our spirit tonight? Oh, can we get our mind on Jesus and have church tonight? Come on, get your mind on Jesus. Lift your voice, lift your heart. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22 and 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Old Testament says might. New Testament says mind. Can I tell you why I think it says mind in the New Testament? Because if we can't get our mind right, we will have no might. People literally lay in bed all day with depression and anxiety. That's in their head. It's not that they don't have strength in their body. It's because their mind is under attack that they feel weak literally in their flesh. So I believe Jesus, being God in flesh, understood, I'll get your might, I'll get your heart, I'll get your strength when I get your mind, whose mind is steady. He will bring them, he will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. The devil wants us to get caught up in our thoughts, our doubts, our fears, our questions. And there's nothing wrong with any of those as long as they're not the controlling factor. We've kind of, what's the word we've been using about pontificating? That's thought. There are people who get frozen on overthinking situations. How are you going to do this? I that's why I don't like questions when I'm doing something that I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing. Just hang with me. We'll figure it out. When it doesn't work, we'll know it. But I would rather take action than sit for 3 days pontificating, not participating in how to get this thing taken care of. My might is of no purpose, is of no use if my mind is not made up. And so he said, love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So it's important if we're going to do that to be what Jesus said after he touched the man from the Gadarenes, from the tombs, that he was clothed and in his right mind. This is the same man that was breaking chains and fetters, running around possessed by a legion of devils. But when Jesus touched him, well, my situation is different. Really? You've been running around the tombs, scaring people? Sometimes we think that our situation is unique and that God's never faced any problems like ours. Honey, our stuff pales in comparison. I heard this today, and it struck a chord with me. He said, if I'm at a restaurant and I order a medium rare steak and they bring me burnt chicken, I'm going to eat it. He said, if I'm driving down the road, someone cuts me off and flips me off, I'm going to let them go. They obviously have never dealt with a big problem. I thought, man, the next time they bring me burnt chicken, when I order steak, I'm going to have to choke that down. Because that's in the scheme of things, that's a first world problem. Some folks don't have anything to eat, and we're complaining about not getting our meal right. And we probably don't need it in the first place. So I've got to understand that my problem is not bigger than what God can handle. My problem's not shocking God. In fact, my problem is probably so God can work on me and mold me and make me and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself. The mindset is I need to humble myself. We get depression and anxiety because things don't go our way. Well, you're not a doctor. You're not a psychologist. No, but I got the Holy Ghost. And as Brother Mayo says, I'm a spiritual practitioner. I'm going to tell you this tonight. There is nothing that the Holy Ghost can't fix. There's nothing that the Holy Ghost cannot fix. If you think it can't, that's the problem. You need to get a renewing of the Holy Ghost and understand it can overcome depression. I can overcome anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving and praise, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the Holy Ghost. That word careful in that scripture means don't be anxious. Don't have anxiety for anything. I'm telling you, I don't know if it was depression or laziness or a combination of both, but I have found myself debilitated. Putting your socks on in the morning takes 30 or 40 minutes because you just don't know what to do. That's because did you pray before you put your socks on? When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you spoke in tongues? You say, Pastor, it's deeper than that. It is deeper than that. We need to go deeper than that. And so this is a battle of the mind. No, my problem is bigger. God's never seen this problem. We talk about Job. In fact, Brother Caleb and I were talking about Job the other day and about all the things. And I said, man, we give his wife a hard time. But it wasn't fair for her either. I said, we talk about chapter 42 where he gets double for his trouble. But he still had to walk out and see those graves of his children. Well, he got more children, but he still had relationship with them. He was offering up sacrifices for them. He loved them, and he lost them. I just kind of believe, just because I know how we are as humans and how things heal, he probably had scars from all the boils and all the scraping. And obviously in Bible days they had mirrors. A man beholding himself in a glass. I don't know when that was invented, but if he had one or ever saw his reflection, or his wife had to look at him every day remembering, you think that wasn't a battle of the mind? You think that wasn't God put this on me? And when he complained, see, here's the problem. The Bible says, let your requests be made known unto God, not your complaints and murmurings. When he complained, God said, stand there like a man and take it. You know, when God said about, can you draw Leviathan with a hook? I heard someone say that he called him out, like, where were you when I pulled up Leviathan? But that wasn't the first time. He wasn't the one that brought it up. Job was. Somewhere back there, he used another word, but that's what it translated to. He was the one saying, this thing is so big. And this thing is so massive. God said, I put a hook in Leviathan's mouth and control him and run him around. This is not too big for me. Don't make it bigger. Don't make it bigger in your mind. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't let your mind overthink things, because that's what we do. Not you, me, all of us. We overthink these things, make them bigger. And God's like, I got a hook for this. I can drag this around with no problem. Your problem's not too big for me. Your trouble's not too big for me. It's just the devil trying to get your mind. So we talk about this legion. Who are you? I'm legion, for we are many. I mean, the guy was, but when God healed him, when Jesus touched him, where was he? At the feet of Jesus. Clothed and in his right mind. You cannot be in your right mind if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot be in your right mind. You can't dress good enough. You can't dress right enough unless you're at the feet of the Master and say, this is the one that healed me when nobody could. This is the one that blessed me when nobody could. This is the one that delivered me when nobody could. I'm going to be with him every chance I get, because I can't afford to let my mind go back to... I cannot afford to let my mind go back where it was before I met Jesus. But Pastor, if I wasn't in this situation, I could really worship him. Pastor, if I wasn't in this trouble, I could really praise him. This man, Legion, worshiped him with 1,000 devils fighting him. He worshiped him when all hell was coming against his body and his mind. He was a crazy man. He was a wild man. He had strength of many men. They could not control him. But when he saw Jesus, even in his crazed condition, he fell down and worshiped him. I'm going to tell you, don't let your circumstance keep you from worshiping God. Don't let your problem keep you from worshiping. It's a battle for your mind, and you can say, I will worship him. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, hallelujah to God. I want to be in my right mind. I want a made up mind to live for him. When I come through trials and tribulations, I want to remember I made this decision when I was in my right mind, and I'm not giving up now. I'm not quitting now. I'm not backing up now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Amen. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've said this before, but your power to resist is only as strong as your submission to God. If your submission's weak, your power to resist is weak. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, where'd you hear that? It wasn't at church. The devil doesn't care how much you talk and how much scripture you quote if you don't know the power of it. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God in the world. You cannot serve God in career. You cannot serve God and family. You cannot serve God. Well, aren't we supposed to love our families? Yes, but not at the expense of loving God. Aren't we supposed to provide for our families? Yes, but not at the expense of loving God and being faithful to the things of God. Aren't we supposed? Yes, absolutely. But we've got to serve God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You got to make up your mind. I'm not serving job. I'm not serving I know some people say, well, you say job and career. I say it all the time and I think about it. It's the same thing. No, it's not. There's a difference between a job and a career. Some people go from job to job to job to job. But when you have a career and you buy into it, it's harder to say, okay, God comes first. You can quit a job. It's hard to walk away from a career. But when you haven't made up mind, that question's already been answered. I'll never forget. Old Warnell, my former boss at Quality Communications. He was upset at me one day. I was driving down State Street in Boise. And he got upset with me. And I said, man, what's the deal? He goes, You gotta choose between this and that other gig. I said, the other gig? You're talking about pastoring the church, the reason why I'm here? I said, done. Come find your truck. What? I said, I'll get out right now, take out my tools right here. I'm not even bringing it back. If you consider that pastoring calling a gig, hope you got a GPS ponder on this thing, because I'm telling you, I said, I'll call my wife right now. I'll leave everything you have locked up in it with the keys. You did that? Absolutely. I made up my mind a long time ago. I walked away from the telephone company with retirement and benefits and a health plan. You think I'm going to sit here for $12 an hour and debate? I made that decision a long time ago. Honey, you come to the wrong guy. You come to the wrong tree if you go start barking about that. I don't care what position it is. I don't care what they offer. You got to have a made-up mind that I'm seeking God first. I'm putting God first. And however it works out, I'm not going to lose my mind over it. Amen. I'm not going to be doubtful. He said, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful in your mind. Well, if I leave, if I do this, if I make this choice, if I live for God, my family's going to reject me. If I make this choice, let me tell you something. They didn't reject you when you was a druggie. They didn't reject you when you was an alcoholic. They weren't helping you either. They weren't there for you then. Why would you worry about what they're saying when you give your life to God? Come back to Thanksgiving whole and saved and in your right mind and tell them how good Jesus has been to you. Oh, let them see the change. Let them see the difference. Let them see what the Holy Ghost can do for you. Man, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. My wife and I, evangelizing. There were days we didn't get paid. When we first came here, there were weeks we didn't get paid. We lived in our trailer behind the church just trying to make ends meet. We didn't know how it was all going to happen. We still didn't go without. Somehow, some way, God always worked it out. And we have a testimony today to tell somebody else when you think your cup is, hey, when you got no food on the table, you got no shoes on your feet, you got no bread in the house to eat, he's my free Savior, and he's all right. He's going to help me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to open doors that he needs to. Don't be doubtful in your mind. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies, by the coming of God, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be soon shaken in your mind. My pastor called me last night and said, is it a bad time? I was on a ladder getting ready to go up on the roof and work. And I said, no, sir, never a bad time when the elder calls. I went over and took this phone call. And he said, what's going on? I said, we're working on the building. He just changed tone. I knew he wasn't just chit-chatting. He changed tone and said, don't rush it and don't set a date. I said, yes, sir. Now, in my mind, I thought, easy for you to say, sit in your office. I'm out here freezing, ready for a building. But I thought, this was not just a random phone call. I said, yes, sir. See, what happens is things don't go the way we want them to go. Things don't turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out. And we get shaken in our mind. And then we start questioning, well, what should we do? How should we do this? What? No. Don't rush it. You know what his next word could have been? Let it unfold. He didn't have to say it because I've heard it all my life. Just let it unfold. Just let it unfold. I thought, you know what, God? You need him to call right now, tonight. When all the other stuff is lagging and the phone calls aren't coming in and people aren't responding to text messages and emails and I want to wring their neck, lay hands on them and they might recover. And he put it on my pastor's heart to say, don't rush it. Don't set any dates. He said, as soon as you set a date, you'll miss it. Let it unfold. You know what God can do? God can make it happen before time. God can make it happen before the date I was set. Because God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his mode is not our mode. And so I cannot be soon shaken in my mind. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. This is Jesus. Well, I shouldn't have gone through this. I'm a good person. Okay. I believe that. I have no questions. I got no quorums. But consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Let's think about this. Consider him that endured such contradiction of his creation. Not only did he create the world and all that's in it, he was a Jew. He came into his own people. And they killed him. Not only did they reject him, they killed him. Well, the Romans did it. Yes, at the request of the Jews, of the high, of the priest. My God. Brother Ken, the high priest that could only go in. He was the only one that could go into God's presence. But couldn't tell God in the flesh. Killed him. Is that not Bible? Is that not the one? That's the one that went into the presence. Now we know they were messed up by then. But they still should have known him. If a fisherman could figure it out. If a Samaritan woman by the well with five husbands could figure it out. Why could not the, well, because they were carnally minded. Not spiritually minded. There was an enmity. There was a battle. There was a harshness between. But I'm going to tell you something. Those that walk in the Spirit, those that understand, it's not about what I want. It's not about my flesh. Consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. He said, if they hate you, rejoice. They hated me too. If they persecute you, be glad. They persecuted me too. If they talk bad about you, rejoice. This is the mindset that he had. I'm doing it right. I got both sides talking about me. I got up to Canada. I was 34, 35 years old. Been there just a few months. Man, I was too liberal for the conservatives and too conservative for the liberals. I thought, man, I just came from home church, preached the same thing, lived the same thing, and I got both sides talking about me. Man, I felt like an outcast. I had someone walk up to me at a conference. I never met the man. He walked up to me and said, what organization do you belong to? Thank God for my quick wit at times. I said, the same one that Peter and John belonged to. How about you? Took him back. He goes, I didn't belong to an organization. I said, exactly. I'm not against organizations. I'm not worried about that. But I'm saying, come on. Yeah. I called up Elder Morton. I said, Elder, I said, nobody likes me up here. I said, I'm too this and too that for all sides. He said, you're doing something right. It's a contradiction of sinners. They're going to persecute you. That's all right. They persecuted him too. They're going to talk bad about you. That's all right. They talk bad about him. When they start nailing you to a cross, spiritually, emotionally, don't be shocked. That's what they did to him too. And you got to remember that so that you don't get weary and faint in your mind. You know why I don't take off on a 5-mile run right now? I don't have to worry about what my body's going to say. My mind already says we can't do it. My mind won that battle before I even got the shoes out of the closet. If you have a hard time bending over and putting your shoes on, you can't run. The other day I told Pa, I said, I'm starting this thing. There's a 7-day challenge. I'm starting it. And I started it. I did it. I'm telling you. Oh, I could do 100 of those. No problem. Around 46, I started thinking, 100's a lot. Around 60, I thought, I still got 40 more to go. And I thought for a split second, I'm in my room by myself. Nobody knows if I did 100 or not. Nobody even knows I'm doing this. But I do. And the problem with all of it is you got to overcome your mind, because you can handle a whole lot more. Your body can handle a whole lot more if you just talk your mind into it. It's not as cold as you think it is. It's not as long as you think it is. It's not as hard as you think it is. It's not. You just got to overcome. You got to push past, lest you get faint and wearied in your mind. The Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I got to make it up for myself. I got to make up my own mind for myself. The Bible says, for God hath given us the spirit, not hath given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That means a healthy mind. That means a stable mind. That means a solid mind. If you look up when you're buying horses and livestock or whatever, it'll say sound, completely 100% sound. That means there's no limp. It doesn't have arthritis in its legs. It doesn't have this trouble with walking. It says sound. Why? It can take you from here to there. If you don't have a sound mind, you cannot get from here to there. And if you're weary in your mind, you got to seek him and say, God, let this mind be in me, which was also carnal mind. Coming quickly to a close tonight. The carnally minded is death, but the spiritual minded, to be spiritually minded, is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Carnal means the flesh, stripped of skin. That means the body. As opposed to the soul or spirit. When you talk yourself into doing something wrong, it was not God. Don't blame it on him. When you talk yourself into doing something against the church, what the church preaches and what the pastor preaches, that was not the spirit. You didn't pray about it. And God lay it on your heart. That's just your flesh talking. It's carnal mind. By implication, the human nature. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to blame it on somebody else. It's human nature. We have to teach our kids to tell the truth. You'll be in less trouble if you tell the truth. That's a taught characteristic. You got to teach them. It's better to tell the truth, even if it's going to affect your flesh. or at least part of it. But the mind, where's the mind? To exercise the mind, that means to entertain, to have sentiment or opinion, to be mentally disposed, more or less earnestly in a certain direction. You made up your mind. When you come to the preacher and say, hey, I want to do this or I want to do that, or what should I do, or I'm letting you know what I'm doing, your mind's already made up. You got to come with an open mind. This is what I'm praying about. This is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? And he's got to be able to say yes or no. And you got to be okay with it, however it is. But when you come with the made up mind, earnest in one certain direction, to interest oneself, what's your mind on? What are you thinking about? Set your affections on. But here's the thing. Enmity. Enmity. It's just not my opinion. It's just not the way I do it. It literally means it's hostile towards. The carnal mind is hostile towards the things of God. It's not subject to the laws of God. That scripture used to mess me up. It's not subject to the laws of God. Neither can it be. Neither indeed can it be. They don't even think they're doing anything wrong because they're not subject to the law of God. That's a scary place to be. Not subject. Give me an example. The world just does what the world does. They don't worry about the implications of God. They don't even think about God. God is not in their thought process. They're not subject to that. They're carnally minded. But spiritually minded people think, how does this affect my walk with God? How does this affect my relationship with God? How will this affect my calling? How will this affect my purpose? How will this affect my involvement? If you just think it doesn't matter, that's a carnal mind. Not trying to be mean, not trying to, but it's my duty, it's my obligation to preach the truth. And the truth is the carnal mind doesn't care what God thinks. And if they don't care what God thinks, of course they're not going to care what the pastor thinks. That's why my pastor would tell me, don't rush things. And know that I will not rush things. Don't set a date. He's not even here. He's not even in this state. He's not even around. What do you mean don't set a date? What if I already did? I would cancel it. I'm spiritually minded. I want to make sure, God, if this was you, but what if it wasn't, Pastor? I would much rather be on a what if it was than right off of that ain't God. That's just my man of God. No, if that's my man of God, I want my mind. I want to be subject. I want to be able to resist the devil because I got some submission. So it means hostile, a reason for opposition, hatred. Comes from the word which means to hate, hateful, passively odious or actively hostile. Adversary, especially Satan. The word enmity comes from the root word which means Satan. That's what the flesh does. The flesh wants you to be like your nature, which is more like Satan than Jesus. Galatians 5:20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, same word, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I'm not saying you can't have friends in the world, but they shouldn't be your buddies. You shouldn't run with them all the time. That should not be your source of entertainment. And for sure, Hollywood, sports, music world. If you raise your kids around it, don't be surprised when they run to it. If you raise your kids in church, don't be surprised when they embrace it. But if you raise your kids around alcohol, don't be surprised when they start drinking at 14. Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth. God has already forgiven my sister. She's saved. She's in the church today. But I remember going to parties where there were kegs. I remember my sister at a young age, probably 10, 11, 12, going to that keg and taking that red cup and getting some drinks. I, at 8, 9, 10 years old, watched all this happen and thought to myself, I'll never do this. And alcohol has never entered my body. Watching that, I made up my mind, I don't want to participate in this. When it was all around me, it pushed me the other direction. But not everyone's like that. There are people who were alcoholics who raised alcoholics. There were people who were druggies who raised druggies. I'm not anybody special. All I know is there was something in me that did not find that attractive, did not find it enticing. But that does not mean that there's not things. When you raise them around Hollywood that is throwing out the LGBTQ, XYZ, plus letter 7, number 7, whatever, all that. Don't be worried when they become an ally. Don't freak out at all. What happened? You raised them in a Hollywood environment with television and movies and. Oh, Pastor, that's just ridiculous. That's the carnal mind speaking. When you take them places and put them in things, you better hope there's enough God in there for when you're not there, that God says, this is not right. This is not a good environment. This is not a good place to be. I don't want that. I don't want to be an enemy. I don't want to be hostile to the things of God. I want to embrace the things of God. The spiritual mind is life and peace. Brother Mayo uses this word a lot, ruminate. Rumination. That means the act of pondering or musing or on something, or psychology, excessive, repetitive thinking focused on the same, usually negative. Do you realize that our tendencies is negative? Our tendency is to think the worst, not the best. And we I don't have a degree. I just know what I know. I just know what I know in pastoring. People would rather talk about their problems than talk about the good things. Because you're probably going to get more sympathy talking about the bad things that's happened to you than talking about how God delivered you. You know that scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind? That's a mindset. Forgetting those things which are behind. If it's behind you, forget about it. Quit thinking about it. Well, that didn't go over very well. I got one person laughing, everybody else staring at me like, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. It's actually not easy to say. It's even harder to do. But it is required. The Bible said, forget those things which are behind and reach forward for those things which are before. You got more going for you than you had against you. You got more opportunity ahead of you. In fact, your kids need you to reach forward more than they need to hear about all the bad things that happened. They need you to hear about, hey, God brought us out. God's going to deliver us. God's going to do good things for us. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brethren, this rumination is usually negative idea or theme, characteristics of some obsessive, compulsive, and anxiety disorders. You know why people have anxiety and depression? Because they ruminate on the negative all the time. I don't know what kind of chemical release there is, what endorphin is released when we think about negative things, but evidently it's pretty powerful. I'm just going to tell you what I did. I've been thinking about this today, and it's not healthy, but I thought about it. I had to pray forgiveness and repent, because that's what repentance is. Well, you need to repent. If I tell you, Kondra, you know what? Just repent. I'm not saying you're out smoking and doping and carousing. Now, if you are, you definitely need to repent. But what that means is I'm going to change the way I think. That's what repent means. It doesn't mean turn over a new leaf and say, I'm sorry that I sinned. That's not what it means. It means to reconsider or to think differently. The reason why I did what I did is because I was carnally thinking. I need to think differently and do something else. And with that comes compunction. But the word repent literally means to think different or to reconsider. If I wasn't in this church, if my dad wasn't such a hard nose, if my pastor wasn't such a jerk, you need to repent. Thank God I'm in a safe place. Thank God I'm in a holy place. Thank God I'm in a protected place. Think different. Think about why you're here and think differently about it. So if I'm thinking about all this, and I thought about God, I walk out every morning and feed my dog, let him out run around. I know I'm not comparing this to Job. I guess I am, but I'm not trying to. It's way different. But Job had to walk out and do whatever he did near those seven graves. I walk out and see three empty stalls and a horse trailer every morning. Every morning and every night. And I think to myself, God, why me? That's the wrong way to think. God, help me learn the lesson that came from this. Help me approach this differently. Help me think about this. God, save their souls. Not the horses. The people that were involved. God, let me forgive as you forgave me. That's the right mindset. Why am I going through this? Don't worry about why. Say, God, forgive them. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They may not have done it intentionally. They may not have hurt you on purpose, but forgive them. Don't let depression and anxiety ruin your life. Don't let your past ruin your future when you have a God that's able to keep you from falling. The devil wants you to think about every bad thing that happened. That is why depression is not fake. Depression is not made up. We put labels. Someone said about trauma. When you were a kid in the 80s, did you have trauma? No, it wasn't that wasn't invented yet. We drank out of water hoses. We couldn't come in until it got dark. If you got hungry, you better hope your friend's mom was home. My mom worked two jobs. I was. We didn't have trauma. You know? We didn't have seatbelts in some of the cars. We didn't have to wear helmets on our bicycles. But there's some things in my past that I cannot let dictate my future. And if the devil can make you think about all the past and all the things, no wonder we're weak. No wonder we want to stay in bed. No wonder we want to pull the covers back over and think it's going to get better. Can I just tell you, it won't? Staying in bed only delays the inevitable. You're still going to deal with what kept you in bed on Tuesday, on Wednesday. And if you don't deal with it on Wednesday, you'll deal with it on Thursday or Friday, somewhere, somehow. And they'll say, we could have fixed this on Tuesday. So what are you doing, Pastor? I'm trying to get it fixed on a Wednesday night. I can't fix your problems. I can't fix your troubles. But I hope I can get you to fix your mindset. It's a battle for my mind, and devil, you can't have it. It's a battle for my thoughts, and I'm bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's a battle for my physical well-being, and devil, you can't have it. You cannot have my mind. You cannot have my peace. You cannot have my consecration. You cannot have it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm not living that past. I'm not doing that behavior. I'm not letting that corruption get a hold of me. I've got righteousness. I've got true holiness. And so I'm renewed. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians 4:6, I quoted this already, but I want to read it to you tonight. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Sister Joy, that's the scripture right there. That last phrase was the scripture that started me on this whole thing. What are we thinking? Because what you think about is what you become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about is what you'll talk about, and you'll become. You can become bitter by thinking about the bad things that happened to you. You can lift your hands in church. You can weep, and you can have tears, and they can be the wrong tears. They're not tears of worship or praise. They're tears of, why me, Lord? Allow bitterness to get in. But it's worse than that. Bitterness is a root. Bitterness is the fruit, and it gets a hold. The Bible says, and many be defiled. You can defile the person you're talking to. You can mess up the person you're living with. You can mess up the people around you, because all they hear is what you're thinking about. And if it's all negative, where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Where's the purpose of going to church? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's what I'm thinking about. If it's a good report, I want to talk about it. If it's virtuous, I want to talk about it. If it's lovely, come on, somebody. Is it lovely? Is what you're thinking about good tonight? Come on, in the name of the Lord, right now. Lift your hands all over this house. Lift your spirit. Lift your heart. Come on, living sacrifice. God, I'm going to sacrifice my wants, my needs, my desires. I'm going to find out whether that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Come on, realize it's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for your mind. Come on, think about the honest things. Think about the just things. Think about the pure things. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the peace of God. Come on, peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Come on, wonderful peace.
Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above.
Sweep over.
Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Come on, you need to pray right now that the peace of God, which passes all understanding,
wonderful peace coming down from the Father.
Holy Ghost, move tonight. Savior, move tonight.
Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fact,
come on, let it come down in your heart right now. Let it touch your mind right now. Oh, let the anointing, God, destroy the yoke.
Sweep over my spirit.
Let the anointing, dear God, destroy the mind that's against you tonight, Jesus.
In fathomless
billows
of love. Down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Oh, let's lift our hands and our hearts to heaven right now. Come on, he's so good. He's so great. He's so mighty. Come on. Don't dwell on the loneliness. Don't dwell on the bitterness. Don't dwell on the questions. I remember the season, I remember the time that my boys started putting two and two together about my parents. They knew Nana and Papa. They knew Papa Terry and Grandma Ann. They didn't know how many grandparents you're supposed to have when you're born. They don't know that. And then one day it dawned on them, well, if that's your dad and that's your mom, that's not your dad, and that's not your mom, then what happened? I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, they started figuring things out. The point of that all is I didn't talk to them about this when they were born. Now, your dad came from a broken home, and so, you know, your relationship could be tainted. All your relationships in life could be messed up. They didn't tell them. Completely different mindset. I lived through that. I was going to protect them from it. We need to be careful what consumes our mind and how we raise our families and how we live in our homes and what we tell and what we think about all the time and what we think is important. And there's some things I wanted to hide from my kids as long as I could. I don't want them to think that it's doomed to fail. I don't want them to think that there's no hope. This is just how it is. I don't want them to think that all families are this way. I have prayed that God, if there are people who have broken homes and messed up relationships with their parents, let them find in us, if not just a pastor and pastor's wife, let them see a home of peace and safety and normalization. And this is, hey, we already came from that. We're not about to reproduce that. And I sure don't want it to be prevalent in the church. Before Christ and under the auspice of being lost is one thing, but in the church it should not be normalized. They should see a normal home and a normal family of people who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our kids have enough to fight without us filling them with negativity. Our kids have enough to overcome without us filling them with our troubles. That just feeds right into Wednesday, Sunday night. Jabez's mother bore him in sorrow, so she labeled him with sorrowful. The Bible says he was normal. He was more noble because he asked God, hear my petition, hear my cry, increase my territory, and keep me from evil. And God granted him his request. Even though his name was sorrowful, he learned how to become noble. What a testimony. What a battle for the mind that was. But he became victorious in it. Thank God. Thank God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I feel the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Come on, let him guide you as you leave tonight. Let him guide you on your day tomorrow. Let him guide you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. 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 Let's not forget Sunday night service, 6 o'clock, 5:30 prayer. It'd be amazing to have everybody in the house of the Lord on that service. Just have a Holy Ghost time. Amen. Remember to pray for the church family, all those that are sick among us, those that are not here tonight. Invite someone to the house of God. Invite someone to the house of God. Gratitude is the key to revival. Be thankful. Be thankful. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody tonight as you leave. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.